This week's Parsha is Parsha's Kiseitze. Parsha's Kiseitze has 74 mitzvahs on it, but we will focus on chapter 22, Pasuk number 8. There the Pasuk says, Kisivne Bayis Chadosh, when you will build a new house, Ve'osiso Ma'ake Legagecha, you should make a fence for your roof, Ve'loi Tosim Domim Beveisecha, that you should not place blood in your house. Why? Ki yipol hanoifel mimenu, if a fallen one will fall from it. Which basically it is the law that when you build a new house, you require to put a make, which is a fence, on your roof in order to protect somebody from falling. And this must be done in order that one should not have blood on his hands if a fallen one falls from it. In other words, if a person falls from the roof, then you won't have blood on your hand that you are not guilty in case somebody falls, since you did everything that you are supposed to do. Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Beis Amed Aleph, there the Gemara says, Tono Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel was taught, Ki Yipoil Hanoifel Mimenu, if a fallen one falls from it. So the question is, why is it called fallen one falls? So the Gemara says, Rowi ze lipoil misheishes emei bereishis. This person, this victim, described in the Pasuk, he was supposed to fall from already the 6 days of creation. That already at that point, Hashem already determined that this person is going to fall. Rashi in the Gemara brings the Pasuk Yeshaya 41 that says, Koire ha-doirois meroish, Hashem who foretells the generations from the beginning. In other words, from creation, Hashem already foretold all the generations and all their actions and all their punishments and the time of their punishment. Rabbeinu Bachya asks that Hashem also foretold if a person is going to be rich or poor, if a person is going to be eating from his own or eating from somebody else. In other words, he's going to be supported on his own or he's going to be supported by somebody else. That's already foretold during the 6 days of creation when Hashem created man. He already foretold, already foresaw and gave already the predetermination for all generations. And the proof is from the Pasuk, that the Pasuk says, Ki yipoil hanoifel, that the fallen one will fall. Sharei lo nafal, he hasn't fallen yet, because of Koreh noifel. And the Pasuk already calls him as he would have fallen. Why is it called the fallen one? If he has not fallen, why does the Torah tells you that if somebody fails to put a protective fence, then the blood, the one who falls, is on the person's hand? Because Elo, to let you know, Shemegalgalin Zchus Al Yidei Zakai, that we give benefit through a meritorious one, Vechoive Al Yidei Chayev, that harm is done through the one is guilty. In other words, true that this victim deserved to die, and true that it was destined for him to die, nevertheless, the owner of the roof doesn't have to be the agent for his demise. He was responsible to put a fence on his roof. Had he done so, Hashem would have brought the victim's death in a different way. But since the person left the roof unfenced, then the owner bears a measure of responsibility for the death and therefore is considered chayev, guilty. Had the person fenced in the roof, Hashem would have not given the person's death to come through the roof. But now that he did not fence his roof, and the person fell from the roof, then you are actually a little bit responsible for the person falling from the roof. Even Yaakov asks a question, the Gemara seems to write both things, that Hashem gives harm through the one who is guilty. In other words, that if you are guilty somehow, Hashem will cause harm to come because of you. And Hashem gives merit, benefits, through the one that's meritorious. Where do we see that from the Pasuk? The Inyun Yaakov explains that the lesson is derived from what the Braise is teaching. That a person may have thought that if he does offense properly, then he doesn't get any reward for doing it. because technically his fence has not accomplished anything, because technically he has not saved anybody from falling from his roof. Anybody that didn't fall from the roof apparently did not deserve to die at this time, and therefore a person would have not fallen anyways even if there was no fence. Therefore the Braise is teaching you that even so, even though the person is not supposed to fall from your roof, but the fact that you followed Hashem's word and you followed the Torah and you erected a fence on the roof, you deserve benefit, and Hashem gives you reward as you would have saved somebody's life. But if you do not put a fence on the roof, then you are almost as guilty as you would have killed somebody because of the person's falling. The Al-Shech HaKodesh asks a question that right after this pasuk, Kisivne Bais Chadosh, when you build a new house and you should put a fence around your roof, it's written in the next pasuk, pasuk number 9, it's written, Lo Tizrach Karmecho Kiloim, you should not sow your vineyard with a mixture, Pen Tikdash Hameleya Hazera Shetizra, let the growth of the seed that you sow, that you plant, and the produce of the vineyard, V'yosakerem, maybe they'll become forbidden, so therefore don't sow together your vineyard with different species of tvua, of wheat. This pasuk describes the prohibition of planting wheat or barley together with grapes, and if you plant it, both of them become forbidden. The Al-Shech is bothered, what's the connection of this pasuk with the previous pasuk of building a house and putting a fence? Why did the Torah put them both together? What is the message that the Torah is trying to convey to us? The Al-Shech answers this question with an answer to another question. He's bothered by the Gemara. The Gemara says that we give benefit for a meritorious person and we give punishment for a guilty person, and yet the pasuk calls it Kippol Anoifel Mimeno, the person is going to fall down from it. If the person is destined to fall from it anyways, why should I prevent him? If the person is a sinner and the person is guilty, what difference does it make if I put a fence on the roof or don't put a fence on the roof? The person is guilty on his own accord. Hashem decreed this person that is falling as a sinner and is guilty. So what difference does it make if I put a fence or not? The Al-Shech explains that for this reason, because of this question, the Torah is connecting the Parsha of Kilayim to the Parsha of putting a fence on the roof. And he explains, we know that wheat by itself is good and the growth is permitted, and grape by itself is also good, and if you plant grapes by itself, whatever grows is permitted. And grape, but yet when you put together grape and wheat, then being together, Hashem is telling you that this is not a good thing, and one harms the other. The wheat harms the grape and the grape harms the wheat, therefore they both are forbidden, because Hashem knows everything and Hashem is the one that decrees like that. We see from here that each species by itself, it's okay, but yet when it gets involved in a different environment, not only its growth does not work the same way that you cannot eat it anymore, it actually becomes forbidden. It influences even the other, that even the grape becomes forbidden. Not only the wheat now becomes forbidden, but the grape also becomes forbidden. The same thing, the grape. On its own, it's okay. But once it gets to a different environment, to a harmful environment, a biblical harmful environment, which is growing together with the wheat, we say that both now become forbidden. Both now have to be destroyed. So he explains the same thing. Could be that this person's, the person that's supposed to fall sin, wasn't enough for him to die. Had he been in a roof of somebody who is meritorious, he would have not fallen from it, because the merit of the person's roof that he is on, that would prevent him from falling on the roof. But now that you are on the roof of a guilty person, on a roof of a sinner himself, now the sins of the person that's supposed to fall, cumulative with the sins of the person whose roof is on, that causes his cup to become full, causes his sin to overflow. Now Hashem decides to punish him for that sin. Therefore, he is going to fall from this roof. But had the person who built the house put a fence on it, then he would have been considered meritorious. then the person who's supposed to fall would have been in a good environment. It would have been an environment where mitzvahs were done, because you'd put a fence on the roof, so therefore he's right next to something of a mitzvah. Then that merit would cause the person, even though he's a sinner, not to fall. And that's how the Alshach explains the Gemara, that megalgalin choiver rak al dei chayav, that a person's punishment only comes in association if somebody is guilty, because the person's guilt causes the other person to suffer. That the fact that somebody does not follow the law, the fact that somebody does not follow mitzvahs, that will cause the other person who has his own peccal, he has his own sins, to become connected to your sins, and that causes his cup to become full, and that causes him to get harmed. And the same thing, if you are meritorious, then your merits prevent the other person from being punished for his sins. In other words, since his sins by itself would not be enough to cause him to be punished, because Hashem always tolerates as much as he can, only when the cup becomes full, only when you commit too many sins, that's when Hashem punishes. As Rashi brings down in Parshas Lech Lecha, Bereishis, chapter 15, Pasuk number 16, there says, V'dor vi yashuvu heino, that Hashem told Avram Avinu that the fourth generation will come back to Eretz Israel. Why? Ki lo yisholem avoin ha'amori ad heino, that the sin of the Amorites did not become complete until now. Rashi explains that Hashem only punishes only when their cup becomes full, that Hashem tolerates people's sin up to a limit. Once that limit is crossed, then Hashem punishes. So to hear the fact that you are on a roof of somebody that is meritorious, that won't cause your personal sins to become greater, and you won't be yet punished by falling off the roof. The fact that you did the mitzvah of Ma'akah, that will save the person from falling on the roof. Ah, you may ask, who says that the fact that you are on a person's roof, and depending if the person whose roof you are on is meritorious or guilty, that will influence the outcome of you falling or not? Therefore, the Torah connects the mitzvah of klaim to the mitzvah of ma'akah to let you know that it does influence, the same way that by klaim we see that the fact that the wheat is together with the grapes, that causes everything to become prohibited. So too, if you are on the roof of a guilty person, that will cause the person to fall. And that teaches you an important lesson, that a person should always be very careful whom he's associated with, because association with somebody, according to the Alshach, could cause the sins to be enhanced. You have your own sins, and you, for your sins you deserve punishment. But Hashem is tolerant. Hashem doesn't punish you yet until the cup becomes full. Once the cup becomes full, once your cup of sins becomes full and goes over, then Hashem punishes you. But the fact that you are in a bad environment, the fact that you are either associated with bad friends or you are actually in a bad place, even though you are not sinning yourself, those sins that you have become enhanced, becomes more noticeable because of your friends or your environment, and that will cause you to be punished now for your sins. Maybe if even though you have sins, but you are together with righteous people or in a place of mitzvahs, Hashem doesn't allow those sins to become enhanced, and the sins still are maintained in the cup, and you are not punished yet for your sins. But once you have bad friends, or once you go to a bad environment, then Hashem punishes you for the sins that you have, because that causes the cup to overfill, and the environment could cause by itself for you to become punished because of your previous sins. The Kli Yakor answers the question of the Alshach, how come it is written the mitzvah of Kilaim after the mitzvah of Ma'akah. He brings that Rabbi Senu Zirchon Levrocha Amru, that our rabbis say, Im ki yamto mitzvahs Ma'akah, if you have fulfilled the mitzvah of putting a fence on the roof, tiske lekerem, you will merit to have a vineyard. So he explains, Ma'in Ma'akah etzel kerem, what is the connection between the fence and the vineyard, he explains that wine normally makes a person who is drunk fall. So since you put in a fence, then Hashem will give you that you'll have a vineyard. Before you put in a fence on your wall, we're afraid that if you have a vineyard, then somebody will get drunk and will fall off your roof. But once you put a fence, we're not afraid anymore somebody will go up on the roof and fall. Therefore, if you fulfill the mitzvah of Makav, putting the fence, then Hashem gives you a reward and allows you now to have a vineyard. And it brings interesting that the last letters of the words, Ki Yipoil Hanofel, that the fallen one will fall, the Ki has the Yud, Yipoil has the Lamed, Hanofel has another Lamed, so it's Yud, Lamed, Lamed, Yud is 10, Lamed is 30, which is 40, and another Lamed is another 30, which is 70, which is numerical value of Yayin, of wine, which is also 70. That Yud is 10, 10 is 20, and Nun is 50, 70. So he says that the Pasuk is alluding to Ki Yipol HaNofel, that the person is going to fall because he drinks wine. Rashi connects the Parsha here with the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. Rashi on Pasuk Ches, Kisivne Bais Chodosh, Rashi says, Im Kiyamto Mitzvah Shiluach HaKan, if you have fulfilled the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird, Soivcho Livnos Bais Chodosh, in the end, you'll marry to build a new house, the Tekai Mitzvah's Makah, and you'll be able to build the Mitzvah of Makah. She Mitzvah Goreres Mitzvah, because one Mitzvah brings another Mitzvah. Once you made one Mitzvah of sending away the mother bird, Hashem allows you to make another Mitzvah of building a fence to your house. And then he continues, V'sagia l'kerem, and then you'll have a vineyard, because Hashem will make you make a Mitzvah with the vineyard. And then you'll have sada, you'll have a field, begodim and knoim, and beautiful clothing. And that's the reason why all these parshas are together, because one brings the other one. That's what Rashi explains. In other words, since you made one mitzvah of sending away the mother bird, Hashem allows you the opportunity to make another mitzvah to build a fence around your house. And once you build a fence around your house, then Hashem allows you to make another mitzvah of getting a vineyard and then not planting wheat and grapes together. And once you do that, then Hashem allows you to have an axe and so forth on. But Rashi doesn't explain the connection, why specifically those things are connected. What is specific about sending away the mother bird that allows you then to have a house and then to have a vineyard? But the Maharal actually asks this question, and he tries to connect all these things, the mother bird, the house, the fields, and so forth, if one idea. And the idea is Yishuv Olam, to establish the world, to populate the world, to make sure the world is maintained in proper order. So he explains that one of the reasons that we send away the mother bird, the reason brought down in the Sefer HaChinuch on the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, is that by you sending away the mother bird, you are testifying that you want all the species of the world. You are being careful not to cause an extinction of any species of the world, and you are affirming by it that Hashem is the one that created the world, and there is a purpose for every species that Hashem put in the world, that nothing that Hashem put in the world is extra. Therefore, if you see a bird laying on the eggs, you gotta make sure that you send away the mother bird before you take the chicks or the eggs, because now the mother bird will be able to go and lay other eggs, and that will create for you an awareness that you are required to watch and try to prevent the extinction of any species. Since Hashem created all the animals to serve man, and Hashem created all these species, so comes out that maintaining the species of the world is part of Yeshiva Shel Olam, is part of populating the world, and a way to serve men. Once you worry about the species and you worry about the population of the world for the world to become established properly, then Hashem allows you to make a second mitzvah of population of the world, which is to build a house, because a person is required to live in the house, to have shelter. In order to populate the world, a person is required to have a residence. So once you do the mitzvah of Yishuv Shel Olam, by sending away the mother bird, Hashem allows you to continue making the mitzvah of Yeshiva Shaloylam, of populating the world, by building a house, which is essential for a person's well-being. And once you build a house and you make the mitzvah of Makkah, you put the fence on the roof, then Hashem allows you to make another mitzvah of populating the world by giving you a vineyard and a field in order for you to plant things, in order for you to eat, which is also an important part in order for you to survive. That is also considered populating the world. So because you made one mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan that caused the world to be populated by species, Hashem allows your survival by giving you a house and a field. And once you make the mitzvah, and once you respect the mitzvah of Kilayim, that you do not mix the species together, then Hashem allows you to have an ox and a donkey. Because Hashem wants you to have an easier way into plowing the field, into working the field, which they are all required for you to be able to populate and to be able to live in this world. Like it's written, Rabbi Yossi used to say that he never called his ox, he always called his ox field. And the reason why Rabbi Yossi would call his ox my field is because you are required to have an ox in order to work the field. So the ox becomes a part of population of the world, of making it easier for you to get food. Again, so because you send away the mother birds and you worried about Hashem's species in the world, Hashem's continuation of the world as a place for human beings to live, so therefore Hashem is making it easier, giving you rewards, things that make you easier to live, and Hashem gives you opportunity to make mitzvahs on each step of the way. Once you fulfill the mitzvah of not plowing with an ox and a donkey together, then Hashem allows you to make another mitzvah or another step on population of the world, that He allows you to buy clothing, allows you to buy vestments to keep you warm. And once you buy vestments, you're required to put tzitzis on the vestments. The Maral connects all these things together with one theme of Yeshiva Shalom, of population of the world, of making the world a better place to live. That all these things are connected. The Shiloh HaKain, sending away the mother bird, the house, the field, the ox, and the clothing are all connected with population or betterment of the world. And that's what Rashi says, that mitzvah goreres mitzvah, that one mitzvah brings another mitzvah, that by you doing the mitzvah of Yishuv Olam, Hashem allows you to make all the mitzvahs involved in Yishuv Olam on bettering the world. Sefer Toldos Yitzchok explains the connection with another interpretation on Shiloh HaKain, on the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird. According to certain interpretations, Badam Betzemach David, the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKain, sending away the mother bird, is a mitzvah for you to be me'orer, to awaken within yourself the midah of rachamim, the midah of kindness, that you should not be such a achzer, such a harsh person, that you take the mother together with the child, that you should be kind and send away the mother bird in order for the mother bird not to have such pain when you take the children or you take the eggs and use the eggs. According to this interpretation, the Toldos Yitzchok brings that the continuing ideas are the same ideas. In other words, that if you are merciful on the mother bird, on birds, then for sure you'll be merciful on people. So in order for you to be merciful of people, you make sure when you build a house that you put a fence around your roof, because you don't want anybody to fall. And once you put in your heart the midas rachmim, that you are kind, that you are always worried about what may happen from your actions, and you're worried about mercy of other things, then you are not going to plant together kilaim, you're not going to sow together grapes and wheat, or two species. Because the Medrash brings down, she'ein lecha esev milmato, there is no grass here in this world, she'ein boy sar lemalo, that doesn't have a ministering angel in heaven, that every grass, every species has their own guardian angel, and that angel is in pain when you mix it up together with a different species. So if you mix wheat together with grape, then you are technically mixing the angel of wheat together with the angel of grape, and that causes one angel to transgress the borders of his own realm and go into the other angel, and that causes pain and strife. Therefore, Hashem prohibited you from mixing the two species together. So in other words, since you are merciful even for birds, even for things that may come out of your action, then Hashem is telling you to go the extra step and be worried about things that's going to happen in heaven. And once you are worried about even the angels, then we know for sure that you are not going to plow together with an ox and a donkey. One of the reasons that we're not allowed to plow together with an ox and a donkey is brought by Devan Ezra, that the strength of an ox is much stronger than the strength of a donkey, and therefore the donkey is struggling to match the pace of the ox and has to work much harder, so it's causing pain to the donkey. And another reason brought down by the Baal HaTosfos in the Baal HaTurim, that we know the ox is male geira, chooses cud, in other words, it eats grass and it constantly brings up the grass from the stomach and chews it over and over again until in his stomach it becomes liquidy and filters down. And the donkey is not male geira. The donkey does not chew his cud. It eats one time and the food stays in the stomach. So the donkey is looking at the ox and the ox is always chewing. So the donkey is having pain because it thinks that we are feeding the ox and we are not feeding the donkeys. Therefore, the Torah tells you, in order to prevent the pain of the donkey, do not plow with an ox and donkey together. So we see that the reason for plowing together with an ox and donkey has also to do with Rachmanes, with mercy, that a person should learn to be merciful and not cause pain to other things. And once you get ingrained to be merciful on species, on angels, on people, then you'll be merciful also to be Mekayim, the mitzvahs of Hashem, because Hashem gets pleasure when we perform His mitzvahs, and Hashem gets delight when the Jewish people are doing His will. So we'll be merciful not to cause pain, but Malya Shamala, not to cause pain in the heavenly court by us performing the mitzvahs, by us doing what Hashem tells you, and we'll put the tzitzis on our clothing because we want to fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem. Resuming what the Sefer told us, Yitzchok says that in the beginning you do the mitzvahs of Shiloh HaKein, you send away the mother bird, shows you that you have mercy on the mother, and then because you learn to have mercy on the mother, Hashem allows you to do another mitzvah involving mercy, is that when you build a house, you build a fence around your house so nobody falls, you are merciful on people. Once you are merciful on birds, on people, Hashem allows you to be merciful on angels by you not putting together two species and not planting kilaim, not planting wheat and grape together. Once you are merciful on the angels and you're merciful on birds, you're merciful on people, Hashem allows you to make another mitzvah involving mercy by you not plowing together with an ox and donkey, because the donkey gets pained by plowing together with the ox. Once we are merciful on men, birds, animals and angels, then Hashem wants you to be merciful on the Pamalya Shamala and do the mitzvahs like Hashem tells you, and Hashem gives you the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is equivalent to all 630 mitzvahs, and that the Talmud Yitzchok explains the connection of the whole series of the parsha. The Baal HaTurim puts together the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, of sending away the mother bird, with the mitzvah of building a house and putting a fence around the house. He says that varachta yomim, that you will have a long life, that in Pasuk number 7 says that you should send the mother bird and take the children, lemanita v'loch, so should be good to you, varachta yomim, and you should have a long life. So the Baal HaTurim explains to have a long life only if you build a house and put a fence around your house, because if you don't build a fence around your house, then you may fall and die. So varachta yomim, you'll have a long life if you don't put hazards on your way and you fall over and die. And the other interpretation the Baal HaTorim brings down, which seems to answer a question that other Meforshim ask, that why does the Torah say specifically, Kisivne Beis Chadosh, when you buy a new house? It seems to imply that only when you buy a new house you're required to put a fence, but not when you have an old house, then you're not required to put a ma'akeh, you're not required to put a fence on your roof. And we know that we are supposed to put a fence on any hazard that we have. Then it's questionable, why does the Torah say specifically, Kisivne Beis Chadosh, when you buy a new house? The Baal HaTorim explains that the connection, Varachta Yomim, you'll have a long life, to Kisivne Beis Chadosh, when you build a new house, alluding to that the whole idea that you should have a long life is for you to build a new house, which is talking about the Beis Hamikdash, that our whole reason of having a long life is in order to be able to build the Beis Hamikdash, or to be able to make it ready for the Beis Hamikdash to be built. And he explains that with that allusion we could answer another question. We know there is two mitzvahs that have the same reward. Kibbut Av V'Em, honoring your father and mother, and Shiluach HaKein. Both of them is written that it should be good to you, you should have long life. The only difference is that on Kibbut Av V'Em, on Voeschanon chapter 5, Pasuk number 16, there it says, Kabetz Avicho V'Simecho, honor your father and mother, Leman Yarichin Yomecho, so you should have a long life, Uleman Itav Loch, then it should be good to you. First, Hashem is giving you the reward that will have a long life, and then Hashem is giving you the reward that it will be good to you. And here, when we send away the mother birds, it's written in the reverse. Send away the mother birds, lema'anitav loch, so it should be good to you, varachta yomim, and should have a long life. The Baal HaTorim explains that the reason it's written here by the mother bird, that it should be good to you, and to have a long life, because the Torah wanted to connect the long life to the next parsha, Kisivne Beis Chadosh, if you build a new house. To tell your first answer that you only have a long life if you build a house and put a fence around it, or to tell you, according to the second answer, that you should have a long life only for the purpose that you should build a Beis Hamikdash. That's the whole purpose for your long life, is not to have other things, is for you to be zoiche and make proper mitzvahs in order to be able to make it possible for the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt. What the Baal HaTorim used by saying the Kisivne Beis Chadosh is alluding to the Beis Hamikdash, we used that pasuk, that Kisivne Beis Chadosh, when you built a new house, and we know that the mitzvah of Ma'akeh, the mitzvah of putting a fence around your roof, is not necessarily the roof, it's also any kind of hazard that you have, and not necessarily a new house, but any house that you have. We use that exact language in order to answer a contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam on Ilchas Brachas, Periyut Aleph, Alocha Dalet, brings an interesting idea. He asks a question. We know that we have a mitzvah of making Mayim Achronim. The Gemara says, Mayim Achronim Chova, that after the meal you're required to wash your hand to take away the Sodomi salt. In the times of the Gemara, people used to eat with their hand and they didn't have refrigerators, so they used to salt their meat extensively in order to make sure that it doesn't spoil. And there was a certain salt called Melach Sodomis, sodomite salt, that if you would have touched the meat and then touched your eye, the salt in the food would cause your eye to become blind. Therefore, the rabbis required that after each meal, you are required to wash your hands in order to avoid the danger of the sodomite salt to touch your eye. So the Rambam asks a question, how come we don't make a brocha on the Tilas Yodayim, on Mayim Achronim? So the Rambam says that that the only reason you wash your hand is only because of danger. There is no other reason written the Gemara that you should wash your hands for. And things that the whole reason for them is because it's dangerous, we not require to make a bracha on that. In other words, anything that the rabbis established because of danger, or anything that the Torah tells you that the whole purpose for it is to avoid you from having a danger, you don't make a brach on it. And yet, the Rambam itself, on Halacha Ches, brings down any mitzvah that the doing is the end of the obligation, you make the bracha when you do it. And any mitzvah that after doing you have another commandment, then you only make the bracha when you do the last commandment. So he explains, somebody builds a sukkah, or a lulav, or a shofar, or a tzitzit, or a tefillin, or a mezuzah, he doesn't make the bracha when he actually makes the sukkah, when he makes the lulav, when he makes the shofar, when he ties the tzitzit, or when he puts the tefillin. He only makes the bracha when he sits in the sukkah, when he shakes the lulav, when he listens to the shofar, or when he wears the tzitzit, and when he wears the tefillin, or when he puts on the mezuzah. Since these mitzvahs have an extra step after the doing, that it requires for you to actually wear it, to actually sit, to actually shake, then we only make the bracha when we finish doing what we do afterwards. But the Rambam says, Aval im also makah, if he makes a fence around his roof, then mevorech b'shas asiyah, he makes the bracha. When he makes it, ashek in the shalom mitzvoyis of v'tzivanu Hashem, who has sanctified us in his mitzvah and commanded us, la sois makah, to make a fence. V'chen kol k'yoytze b'zeh, anything like that. So the Rambam clearly says that when we make a makah, when we make a fence around our roof, we require to make a bracha, ashek in shalom mitzvoyis of tzivanu, La sois makeh. Hashem has commanded us to make a fence. So technically it's a contradiction to what Rambam said before. We know the whole reason for makeh, the reason for a fence, is for somebody not to fall from it, is in order to prevent sikana, is in order to prevent danger. And the Rambam clearly says that anything that is done in order to prevent danger doesn't require a bracha. So technically it's a contradiction between the previous Rambam in the same Perik, where the Rambam says that anything that is about danger, we don't make a bracha, and this Rambam that says that when we make the fence, we require to make a bracha when we make the fence. The Pardas Yosef wants to answer this with Rabbeinu Hillel and Anatziv and the Briskerov. He explains that Rabbeinu Hillel says that the Pasuk specifically says, Kisivne ba'is chadosh v'asisa makeh, when you build a new house and you should make a makeh. Rabbeinu Hillel explains that from the fact that the Torah stresses ba'is chadosh, a new house, m'sha shebuneu, from the time that you build it and it's still new, then you should already make a makeh. Even before you actually live in it, you should already have made the makeh, made the fence. And the Netziv explains that mezuzah, the chiyuv, is after there is called a house. After it's a house, then you make a mezuzah. But the chiyuv of makeh, the chiyuv of putting a fence around, is even before the house is finished, you're required to put a fence around the roof. If that is so, that answers the question or the contradictions on the Rambam. That the Rambam really could hold, like he holds in Sefer HaMitzvahs, that the main reason for makeh, for putting a fence around the roof, is because of skona. Because in Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam actually says that not only on the roof I'm required to put it a fence, I'm required to put a fence on my wells, on my poles and my pits, and anything that a person may be endangered, I'm required to make a makeh. Really, the mitzvah of putting a fence in other places is because of danger. But since the Torah tells me that I'm required to put a makeh when I build a new house, like we mentioned, that I'm required to make the makeh even before there is people living in the house, so it shows that when I build a house, the mitzvah of makeh at that point is not only because of sakana, not only because of danger, it is tam, a mitzvah that Hashem told me, when I build a house, I'm required to put a makeh, I'm required to put a fence, because at the point where I'm building the house, there is nobody on the roof yet to fall. There is no danger yet of somebody to fall. Yet the Torah requires me to put a makeh even before I live in that house, even before there's anybody walking in that roof, I'm already required to make a makeh. So at that point, when I'm building the house, the makeh is really not because of danger. There's another reason the makeh, which we don't know the reason, but the reason of the makeh is because Hashem told me to make the mitzvah of makeh. So at that point, when there is nobody living yet, I cannot say that the mitzvah is because of danger. So at that point, I make the bracha, Hashem kiddushonu b'mitzvois v'tzivonu, la'asois makeh, to make a makeh. According to the Pardes Yosef, we must say that there is two types of makeh. When you build a makeh on a pit or on any other hazard in order to prevent danger, maybe the Rambam will hold that you don't make a bracha. Since those are made to prevent danger, we do not make a bracha, like the Rambam says, we do not make a bracha on my machroinim, on the waters after the mill. But on the makeh that you build on your roof, when you build a new house, since the obligation there is independent of any danger, because the Torah tells you in the language, Kisivne bais chadosh, when you build a new house, so in that regard, you're required to make a bracha in that case, because the obligation to build that fence is independent of danger. Since there is no danger present yet, when you finish or when your obligation falls to build the fence. And that could be the reason why the Torah phrases it in Kisivne bais chadosh, when you build a new house, to tell you that there is a separate step in the obligation of makeh, which is independent of the danger. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should all learn to have mercy on people, on animals, on malachim, and the pamal yishamala, and through that we'll merit to have arichas yamim, a long life. And like the Baal Turim explains, that our long life is only for the purpose kisivne beis chadosh, that we should build the beis hamikdash. Hashem should help that in the month of Elul, we should better our deeds, and through that merit to have Mashiach come. If Mashiach will come, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and the Shechinah will return to Yerushalayim. B'mehera b'yameinu, Amen.